Welcome to Christ Today, and welcome to the year 2021. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us life and for putting us right here, right now. When we get to witness the events taking place all around us as the end of the age draws closer and closer, we feel the element of uncertainty around us. But Father, we also feel the certainty of your promises and your secure grip upon each of us who are yours. And we are so very thankful to you for providing our Savior Jesus to us. And yes, and amen. In Jesus' name. It is wonderful to be in the will of God and to have His hand of absolute power protecting us, providing for us. And let us remember to say yes, Lord, to God, and for His will to be in our lives, say yes, Lord. Thankfully, we are each of us free to choose Jesus Christ and to believe in the promises of God in Jesus. We have each day of life where we can demonstrate our belief, our love of God, and our love of our neighbor. And then we get to live in heaven in glory. How wonderful. Meanwhile, we have things going on in this world as we try to live a holy life. Things are going on, and we believers have much peace and comfort in our relation with God. And yes, thank you, Lord God, for that. We have joy and security. I think of Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. And you know, our life includes faith and feelings and thoughts and actions. And here we are, right here, right now, trying to live them out with the joy of the Lord in us and with faith in Jesus. I think of Esther 4:14, where it speaks about being born for a time such as this. And here we are. So this is how I think we are living on this earth right now, for a time such as this, wonderful and beautiful where God has put us. Thank you, Lord. Plenty of people think that the times we are living in are tumultuous. Well, they are a little bit tumultuous, but compared to the entire human history, well, we've had some really good times, and it's just getting back to a normal element of tumultuousness. When I think about the times in the past, life was not very stable in the thousands of years that have passed, or the hundreds of years that have passed. It has always been difficult, and today we have just come through a time of stability where we, especially in the United States, have had some wonderful peace, wonderful comfort, and wonderful productivity. And still we have problems, of course. There are always problems. It's just the nature of life. So they can be pretty small. Like today, we might have something on our skin that needs to be removed, or we might need a tooth pulled or a cavity filled or something, or a problem with our car. But those are small problems compared to life and death. that have so often existed in history. And so we can be thankful that we are born in this time. Thank you, Lord. Today we have a spiritual battle, a spiritual assault on us. And one of the concerns is about truth. How do we discern truth from lies? How do we discern the gospel, the Bible? All these things are a form of attack on us. Now, we can be encouraged and read encouraging things, and of course, the Bible, the gospel, is encouraging. But there's lots of encouragement around us in our good and wonderful human relations. Things, in a way, have changed, and in a way, things have stayed the same over centuries and longer. Well, we have the spiritual battle, and this is something we have to be aware of because we are bombarded with things which will attack our spiritual faith. All sorts of things happen, and it's a natural occurrence. It's happened throughout history where the foundations of our beliefs, the foundations of Christianity, have been under attack, a spiritual attack primarily, but also physical attack in a way. Now, people, like I say, have always been under attack spiritually, and today our young people are under attack. And this is so true when you look at what is going on and the influences that are brought into the lives of our young people. Well, we have to remember to pray for, yes, everybody, but probably especially the younger people. One of the things that influences us has been music. That has been forever. Music has gone on since ancient Babylon, when Nebuchadnezzar used music to induce worship of the great golden image. That's in Daniel chapter 3. But also music was used in ancient Israel to induce people to worship, to make the frame of mind to worship the holy God, our God, the God of the Bible. Music has always been something that has had two sides to it. The ancient Greeks were particular about their music. Their music that the young people were listening to was also important to them. They recognized the importance of melody instead of rhythm or beat. And today we have music which has expanded to be rock and roll in the 1950s and the 1960s. And then we had other influences in the words of the music. There was an introduction to reincarnation in the lives of the musicians at that time. That was the popular music groups who had those beliefs, and it subtly worked its way into the music that they made. When we talk about reincarnation, for instance, this is a fundamental belief that is not Christian. It is coming from especially Hinduism, but also Buddhism and Sikhism. The idea of becoming whoever we want to be in the next few lives is appealing, but it is completely opposite of the Christian fundamental beliefs. So we have these things that seep slowly into our culture. They've been going on for decades, and they still do. Over Christmas, I went to a family member's home, and I listened to this movie called Soul. It was by Pixar, and no one paid much attention to it except me. I watched the entire movie. I thought it was pretty interesting. It presented the idea that we all die, but we can, if we really, really want to, we can get back to life on Earth using our will power. And also, at the end of life, we get reincarnated. So this is what our children are learning at an early age. And of course, children see many things. Yes, they would see that theme, but they would also see the themes that the creators would talk about if they were describing their movie. They would probably say that that movie was about an adventure full of surprises, and it had elements of love and the profound art of performing jazz. Because that's the name of the movie, Soul. But the point here is that the children do recognize the different themes in movies. Children are smart. They really do understand very much, even if they cannot explain it in a way that we adults would use. Children don't use the adult words, but they do understand the concept quite well. So I think that the point that I would look at about the movie, though, was that the spiritual foundations of Christianity are under attack, and the young generations are the target of a new spiritual identity. That's what I think is going on with so much of the things today, attacking the godly Christian fundamentals. So I think the big thing that we all can do is to pray for our younger generation, all of them, anyone younger than we are. And sometime it will be appropriate to speak or to act with the good, wonderful Christian principles that are appropriate, when it is appropriate. But prayer can always happen, and yet it will be appropriate to speak or to act sometimes. Over the times, we do get to observe life. We get to understand the passing of the years. And we have now a new year, 2021. And I remember talking at the beginning of the year 2020 that it would be a year of volatility. And I would expect that the year 2021 will be even more volatile. So yes, we do hope that we have wonderful things going on. We do hope for prosperity and peace. But we live in volatile times, and we live in, just volatile things going on. So from my perspective, it means that we all ought to be, in general, prepared to deal with some kind of a future trouble, and we don't know what it is. So we do want to have preparations that meet many different needs. One of the things that we like to do as Christians is to help people. And if it gets pretty serious, our help will be with the most basic of things when we help our neighbors with food and water. Could it get to be that? Well, we know from history that it could, but we also hope that it doesn't get to that point. It just that right now we can do things. We can do things to prepare, and we ought. Today, so many of us are concerned with the virus, and the virus is being promoted as a great big concern. The hospitals are also concerned with talking to people who or dealing with people who have the virus, because they get more financial reimbursement if they have a COVID death than a standard non-COVID death. So it skews the true statistics. And you've probably heard stories. I've heard stories about people who die. Oh, like here's a motorcyclist who died from head injuries. But he also had COVID in his blood sample. So his death was listed as COVID, even though it really and truly was a head injury from a motorcycle accident. Well, we hear about these examples. We have to believe that they are true, because it follows logic. But we are dealing with an institutional system that wants to promote one thing or another. You know, another thing that is not hardly talked about is the sensitivity of the machines that register COVID in the blood. And that makes a difference. Oh, for instance, if the machine registers 1 to 5 COVID enzymes, well, that would not make a person sick. But if you had 20 or 30 or 40 COVID enzymes, it might make a person sick. And if you had 50 or 100 COVID enzymes, yeah, a person would get sick. So the person with 1 to 5 COVID enzymes who died would still be considered as having a COVID death. And so we have these things that are going on that are stretching the reality, stretching the truth. You can learn these things. They are available. We have a world of internet which talks about these things. And I learned this from a medical doctor and a university biology professor. Bakhti was his name in Germany. And I went to look that up again a few days ago, and I found out that it had been removed from the internet. There's things going on, and to remove information from, for instance, the internet is kind of like burning books, because it is making the information unavailable. And we are living in a time when there is a battle for information. Even if we can see something is obvious, we still have to examine it and try to understand if it is rational and logical and discern the truth of it. We are being deprived of rational and intellectual discussion on our media, and all we can do is search out the truth and try to understand what is true and what will impact our lives. There's not a lot to say about it. It's just that we ought to know that it is going on. And haven't you heard that the medical people say that their decisions are being made by science? Well, what I see is that the scientists and the medical doctors do not agree on what the facts are. So we have a hard time discerning what to do because we have been so accustomed to believing what the authorities say. But the authorities, even though they present a united front, they are not united in the facts. They are not united in the science. And so we get to try to figure out what is truth. How do we discern the truth? We're being told one thing and another about all the situations around us, from the medical situation to the business situation, and how our economic prosperity is coming apart at the seams in these days. These days, unemployment is becoming more and more severe, and we look for the government to save us. Oh boy. That hasn't worked out so well in other societies, in other civilizations. Well, look around and we can see what's happening to our economic prosperity. There are empty highways, there are empty streets, empty restaurants, and so many empty small businesses. I've looked at around and seen how storefronts are empty. Malls are empty. It's going to be a hard thing for a recovery to take place in any sort of time that we can imagine. That pretty much means that if you don't have a job now, don't expect to get one for a few years. And that makes it hard on family members. That makes it hard on the young and the old who need a job. It could be literally years before the young actually get a regular job. My guess about what's coming is joblessness. And often enough, that leads people to have idle time, nothing to do, and violence increases. And eventually, everyone will cry out to the government, "Help! Help! Save us!" And the government probably will have a universal basic income. And what that means is we will have inflation, massive inflation, and then hyperinflation, and then a massive collapse. First in the Western countries, certainly the United States, and then in the world, it will simply spread. You can disagree. That's okay. Lots of people do. They only want to look at the good things that could happen. But if we look at what else might happen, it's easy right now to prepare. Whereas if we wait, it might not be easy to take preparedness steps. We look at what's going on now with this, again, with COVID things. And there are plenty of people who are saying that we will need a vaccination certificate or maybe a machine that reads that you have been vaccinated on your arm or wherever it is. And that's one of the things that is projected and suggested for our future. It will lead to a whole other kind of society. It will lead to us being completely monitored if we need that health passport, they're calling it, or a certificate of vaccination to get into certain public places. We might even graduate to having a Treasury Direct account where our universal basic income will be directly deposited into. And these things are being suggested. They are serious suggestions that are being examined in our country and in other countries. But what happens if we have a Treasury Direct account is they get to watch over and see what monies go into our account and what monies go out of our account. Every single dollar deposited or spent would be a matter of record to those certain institutions, like the Federal Reserve. Maybe they will use banks for it, but it will be all understood if it does get to that point. And that's, if it starts in that direction, we can be pretty sure it will end up there. So it's another way of monitoring that could change our future. And speaking of monitoring, one of the things that we are always concerned about is the facial recognition. But that's old technology now. In China, thanks to the United States technology corporations, the CCP, or the Chinese Communist Party, is monitoring all their citizens. And for facial recognition, yes, they have that, but they also have a system where they can identify most of their population by their walk, the width of the shoulders, the swing of the arms, the stride of the legs. And that is something that's being done from overhead monitoring systems like a camera or a drone or a satellite. It's all going on in another country, and if it's going on in another country, it can certainly go on here. I think back to the days of President Nixon. That was about 1972. At that time, there were satellites that could take a really good picture of anybody. They could look at car license plates or the president or any person, and it was a very clear picture. There, at the time, there was a newspaper picture, an article, that said that the satellite cameras were so good that they could take a picture of a fruit fly from space, and with that picture they could determine the sex of that fruit fly. So you can only imagine how much better technology has gotten in the last 50 years. Yeah. Well, speaking of technology, if we go back to 1993, roughly 30 years ago, there was the Colombian drug lord Pablo Escobar. He was killed. And I learned this, what I'm going to tell you, from a Wall Street Journal article probably a year after that, or within a year after it. But here's what I remember from that article. Pablo Escobar went into deep hiding in Colombia, and he had been in deep hiding for over a year, and they were looking for him. The United States telephone surveillance network identified him by voice print, and he thought that if he made a phone call for less than 1 minute, he could escape that. Well, he made a phone call to his wife's parents in New York City just to tell them and to tell his wife that he was all right. And that phone call was traced to Colombia, to a small apartment in a lower-class neighborhood of a Colombian city. And when that happened, a special force of Colombian police arrived there within 35 minutes. And 25 minutes after they arrived, Pablo Escobar had been shot dead. He tried to escape, and they shot him dead. So there are variations of this basic story, but it's certainly about what happened. My point of this, it shows what technology can be used for. And as I said, that was what, 1993? Right in there. So what is going on today? If the head of an organization could be tracked down like that, well, we all can be. Now, there was a special circumstance to his being tracked down because he was the head of a narcotics organization smuggling. And they were smuggling 15 tons of cocaine into the United States every day. 15 tons of cocaine a day into the United States. So they were anxious to catch him. So, yes, shame on the cartel for doing that. But also shame on the United States people for ingesting 15 tons of cocaine every day. Oh, so my point here is, by this true story, is how technology is everywhere and how much it can be used or in the future will be used. So this was like 25, 30 years ago. Technology has advanced so much more in the present day. We can only guess what it is today, but we have technology. Yes, we do. We know that there's so many people who can't even walk outside without their smartphones. They depend on their smartphones. It's become a part of almost of their body because they want it. They need it. And I understand that. I have one too. Smartphones are amazing, and they do some really wonderful things. But we do have to just be a little bit aware that the United States National Security Agency, NSA, keeps on file every single phone call that we made. Every single phone call in the whole United States, all of them, is recorded. And then they can look things up by keywords or whatever. So, think about smartphones. Will they ever be used to track down the users? Well, of course they will. And they would be able to determine, for instance, if a person with COVID comes in contact with a person who is not with COVID. They know within 6 feet. Oh, they say if you have the app, but there's capacities that we do not know about. Want to guess at them? Well, just look at those two examples I just gave. It's astounding. So, currently, the people from China are being closely watched, and apparently we are not in the United States watched that closely. Apparently. But if it were to happen, we would be watched closely. Oh, we know that the United States government is a good government and it has good people in it. And that I really do believe. But I also believe that there are people in the United States government who want power. They are power-hungry people, and they get to the top positions in any organization, including the United States government. So we do have the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, which profess and declare principles of liberty. But it is we, the people, who must preserve and protect our God-given freedom, our God-given liberty. It was declared, but obviously there are forces and people that want to take it from us, and we must be watchful to preserve our liberty. If I think back to some school days, my school days, or probably yours too, there were always people who wanted to, let's say, diminish you or to bully you, for instance. And it's just human nature that people wanted what you have. That's just so human. People want what other people have. Whatever it is, they want your money, they want your car, they want your boyfriend, girlfriend, and that's just people want what other people have. And that exists today. In today's world, we have people who want what you have, and they will be tricky or deceiving just to get whatever it is you have. I think of the workplace. I think of what happens at work. In work, how many times I've heard the stories where somebody takes an idea that another person came up with and presents it as their own idea, and they get the credit, and they are promoted or are in line for a bonus or something because they came up with the idea. And nobody knows that somebody else came up with it first. It's just the way things work. People want what other people have, and they will do that as long as they can get away with it. It's human nature. Don't let it surprise you. And that can happen to anything you have, whether it's power or influence or even food. Yes, even food. And that's one of the things that has been a historical need, where people need food and they go wherever they need to get it. See, in the 1920s, there was the Ukraine, which was the breadbasket of the Soviet Union area. And Russian troops went to farmers and commandeered or stole the farmers' wheat. And the Ukrainian farmers pretty much starved and died by the millions. And even as they starved, they could hardly believe that the Russian soldiers would do that to them. They just could hardly believe it. But it did happen. Decades after that, in Asia, like China and Laos and Vietnam and Cambodia, the political leaders there, like China's chairman Mao, also commandeered rice from the farmers and from the suppliers. And millions of people went hungry and died. It's just a fact of history that people take what other people have. It's historically true. Could it happen today? That's the question. Could it happen today? When I see the great flooding that is going on in China right now, today, there is great crop loss of wheat and rice due to the massive flooding. And there is even a danger that their huge Three Gorges Dam could develop cracks and break. Well, it is developing cracks, according to some reports. But could it break? If it would, it would make the crop losses that are already there right now, it would get so much worse for China and for the downstream countries. Well, it is not unusual for starving people in one country to take the food of people from another country. That's just a historical fact. And so we have to be aware that it could happen today. It could. And I think about Australia. Australia is closer to a people of China than the United States is. So I can't help but think of, I guess I should think a little further. I think about prophetic people in the past who have prophesied that Russian and Chinese troops would invade America. Invade, I said that again. last week, I used that word invade about prophetic people giving that prophecy. And it was pointed out to me that invade could be the wrong word, because according to these prophecies, the foreign troops were invited in. They were not invading troops. They were invited in by the United States government to help keep order. And that was after a massive natural disaster. Now, I'm talking about something that it's prophecy. It doesn't mean it's will happen. It means that it could happen, or it could happen in the future. But anyway, after those Russian and Chinese troops were in America, they refused to leave. So, well, I better first apologize for my use of the word invade that I had said once before. It's not an invasion, it's an occupation. And then they refused to leave. Anyway, it was a prophecy given by a number of people over 20 years ago, including Henry Groover and Benjamin Baruch and Dimitri Dudeman and Daniel Rhodes. And you could even say there were a few other people giving prophecies which would line up right with that, but they didn't say that specifically, like Ken Peters had something to say like that, but wasn't that. You could even say David Wilkerson, but my point is there were people who said this, and will it come to pass? We don't know. We don't know, and we don't know the timing of it. It's just a matter of it could happen. So think what could happen. Why would this happen? Is the United States in prophecy? Is the United States going to be in line to suffer? I almost said invasion again. Occupation. After all, we have done some things that are very ungodly. So, has the United States repented, or are we doing things the same as they always have been, which are in opposition to God's will? Oh boy, this is a big question. And you better just pray for understanding and seek that. One of the things I look at is, have we reached the fullness of iniquity? That was said back in Genesis, they had to reach the fullness of iniquity before they were taken out by God. So, did we reach that point? Have we? I don't know. I only wonder. I don't mean that I can tell you that this will happen. I only mean that it's a possibility. But the possibility has very severe results. So, if it were to happen, we can only wish that we would have done something to prepare in some very basic ways. And to me, that basic preparation is food and supplies. And to do that now when food and supplies are available, you don't wait until there's a crisis. You don't wait until there's a shortage. You get things while you can. Because we do know that Scripture says, Matthew 24:4, Mark 13:5, and Luke 21:8. They all talk about wars, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes, and more. So, are they coming? Well, it sure is likely, don't you think? Yes, of course, because it's in Scripture. But when is the question? And that is something which we each get to pray about and ask for discernment. When does it apply to us? We don't know. We just don't know. But we do like to see that we are in the end times, and Oh, will we be raptured out of troubles? We don't know that either. Nope. But we do have earthquakes. That was one of those signs given. Last week, there was an earthquake in Chico, barely noticeable, but it was in Chico, 3.9. And then there have been earthquakes at the geysers in Lake Counties, 5.7. And then there was another one in Coos Bay, Oregon, and that was a 5.7. So maybe I got the one at the geysers mixed up. The idea is that things are happening, and we can be sure they are happening because they are in the Bible. So let's get things looked at and try to figure things out for what is going on. Yes, we have things going on. Think of that 5 cases of contagious COVID in Colorado. That just happened last week. And England is reporting a new strain of COVID. Well, no surprise. I mentioned that microbiologist earlier, and he says that this was a couple of months ago, there were 16 strains of COVID that were now identified. So, what does that mean? What is coming our way? Oh, we don't know, but we do know that we have limited information. We only are allowed to hear what news is authorized. Just look at the mass media, and we can see that our understanding is limited. But we want to try to understand what's going on so that we can take appropriate steps. The news is controlled. The media giants are controlling the news, and we just want to try and understand and not have all our news be monitored, which is going on. The Federal Reserve is also doing things with our United States dollars, printing more and more, more and more. And this will lead to ultimately a collapse and a depression. There are plenty of people projecting a collapse. And Warren Buffett of Berkshire Hathaway is expecting to buy up lots of distressed companies as the economy worsens, and he has been stirring up currency to buy distressed companies. Right now, he's put aside $128 billion to buy up distressed companies. That is hundreds of millions of dollars to buy up distressed companies, and that's what some people see as coming. A collapse kind of a thing. Other pretty famous, well-thought-of financial people are telling us also the same kind of thing. Jim Rickards says that the recession is over, the depression has begun. He just said that, what, a week ago or something? And he says that in his 2019 book Aftermath, that he predicted the events like riots and a pandemic. Oh, well, he predicted several scenarios, and those were included in them. But Jim Rickards is a well-thought-of author and he's made reasonable predictions. Another person is Gerald Celente, who has Trends Research, and he says difficult days are ahead, and beware, because when people lose everything they have, they lose it. Another financial commentator, Robert Kiyosaki, the author of Rich Dad Poor Dad, forecasts difficult times ahead and says when the bubble pops, this will be the biggest bubble in history ever to pop. And he talks about another Great Depression and even an Civil War. Are they right? Well, it was for all the people to talk about these things coming, we would do well to consider that they certainly might be. These are warnings, and that's what I want to do, is say, look out, because things could be coming. Is it too negative? Some people think I'm too negative, but we are also grateful of the signs that say, warning, freeway ends in 1 mile, or warning, rough road is ahead. And if there were not the signs, the people who warn us, the signs that warn us, we would go right into that rough road at 65 miles an hour and end up in a car wreck. That could happen, and that's why I pass on this kind of information that is not especially pleasant. But it is real. It is. There's real people who are saying it, and the timing of things is one thing that we absolutely don't know, and that is... That's a big question, the timing. We just don't know. But we do know that these are some really real potentials, at least potentials. There's another author I'm going to talk about. It's Catherine Austin Fitz. She is writes the Solari Report, and she had a video called Planet Lockdown. And it talks about money matters and how do they do it? How will they create a new money system? Because that's what's going on, the creation of a new money system. One of the things she said is, how do you lead sheep to the slaughterhouse without spooking them? It's simple. You make sure that they don't see what is coming. You might have an invisible enemy, like a health crisis. And at one time, it was the war on terror. That was an invisible enemy also, sort of. But anyway, what do? We call on the government to protect us when there is a crisis. And that is one of the things that she sees as going on. She also sees the theory of divide and conquer going on as an effective method to impose the will of the elite upon the masses. And that is the end result, is control of the behavior of the people in an economic and a political manner. Desperate people seek extreme measures. And so many people are desperate to live and to be free. But what will happen in this global war on economies? There's a history of the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. So we can be pretty sure that would happen again. In that video, she talked about the video Planet Lockdown. She cited the Federal Reserve being in 37 cities, and in 34 out of the 37 cities, there were riots right near the Federal Reserve banks. And how interesting that was. What a coincidence, she would say. And that they also were in economic development areas. Right around the Federal Reserve banks. I mean, if it were planned, that's what would happen. So there's things that are going on in our society. There is becoming a robot, development of robots, which can be monitored and controlled, and by satellites, but also by the elite, who, in her words, the elite do not see themselves as part of humanity. They are far above normal people and would view normal people as cattle, and the elite would be the herders of the cattle. So these things are going on. She sees COVID-19 as a mechanism to use fear to control and surveil the people. It's a form of technocracy and transhumanism that is developing, where every person is to be identified and tracked. What a situation. What a future. What are we going to do? It's going to be an amazing future that we are in. And yes, we had better remember that what is important to us is our relationship with God. That is always the important thing. We have an awesome God. Our God is so awesome, and what we want to do is yield ourselves to Him and ask Him for understanding and ask our God to provide and protect us. Now, perhaps everything is going away from us one day anyway. Well, it is, because we pass into the next life, we die, and then we have to remember what we have we do not want to get too attached to. Oh, and by the way, I thank everyone for sending me good and kind wishes and more, too. So I want to thank everyone for doing that regarding my recent loss. I do very much appreciate all the kind notes and more. So, let's see. So if anybody would like my free preparedness pamphlet, please send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, and I will send that right back to you. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. I believe 2021 and beyond are going to be some volatile years. So stay safe and brace yourself. Meanwhile, may God bless you and yours, and may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.